Okay, Psalm 90 was just read in our hearing. I'd like us to consider truth found in the second verse. I'll read verses 1 and 2. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Perhaps you've heard a child ask the question, how old is God? And that is an intelligent question. That's a question that's normally asked of people, of persons. I'm asked that from time to time in the bus. And when I tell them how old I am, they think I'm an ancient of days. And so would I have at their age. And by the way, the Lord does call Himself in Daniel chapter 7, the Ancient of Days. But the answer to that question is the Ancient of Days. But He's also the Eternal God. Deuteronomy 33:27. The King Eternal, speaking of Christ, 1 Timothy 1:17. And the Eternal Spirit, who we just sang to, as Hebrews 9:14 indicates. So all three persons of the Trinity possess the incommunicable attribute of eternity or eternality. Famous text in Isaiah 57:15, that God is the high and the lofty one who inhabiteth eternity. Therefore, it is a great comfort that God is eternal, because He is therefore able to give eternal life. If God was temporal, if God had a beginning, it would not be comfortable that He promised eternal life. I can remember in the 1980s when we first moved to Western New York, there was a company called Electrogas, if some of you remember. And they had the slogan, Lifetime Guarantee. It was an appliance place, and that's where we first bought our appliances. And my father was with me the day that we went to Electrogas, and he made the statement as we pulled into the parking lot, whose lifetime? Your lifetime or their lifetime? And they were saying, we're going to be here forever. And so it wasn't but a few years, and Electrogas was out of business, and therefore the lifetime guarantee was rescinded. And we had no guarantee whatsoever. It's like Belshazzar, they're recorded in Daniel chapter 5, and he's promising Daniel, or whoever interprets or reads the writing on the wall, that he's going to become the third in the kingdom. And you might say, what kingdom? And how long will your kingdom exist? Well, little did he know that it was about a four-hour promise. Daniel was third in the kingdom for just a few hours, because the Bible says that night that the city of Babylon fell to the Medo-Persians. But the psalmist here, Moses, the most ancient writer in the Bible, says that the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Interesting description, isn't it? As if everlasting had a beginning. From everlasting to everlasting, You are God. Our time, our existence is measured in time segments called hours, perhaps. There are babies whose existence can be measured in hours on this side of eternity. and days and months, sadly aborted boys and girls in the millions in this world. And most of our lives, as Moses said, are measured in years. 70, maybe 80, some less and some more. How long do we have to live, brother and sister? I've been given 55 years. I'm not promised 56. None of us are promised another heartbeat. And I'm not sure that even our existence, even in the patriarchs, can be measured in millennia, because it's interesting that we aren't given a single saint who lived 1,000 years. We're given a saint that lived how many children? Who is the oldest saint recorded in the Bible? Begins with an M. It'll come. Let that light bulb turn on. After death, it will come. Methuselah. Yes. How old was Methuselah when he died? Not quite 1,000. 969 years. But it's interesting that not one saint is recorded to have lived to be 1,000. And it says 1,000 years to the Lord is one day. And not one saint, at least from what we can tell, could ever say, I lived 1,000 years. Now, you can't argue for or against. Most likely, since there was one at 969, there probably was somebody that lived beyond 1,000, but we're not given that information. But with the Lord, time isn't. Time never was. His existence cannot be measured. All you can say is He is from everlasting to everlasting. And I'd like us just to ponder that today. It's just a wonderful thought that God is eternal God, and yet He's given us time to seek Him. It is time to seek the eternal God. Time to worship Him. Time to praise Him. Time to know Him. What a loving God, a long-suffering God, that He would desire creatures of time to bow down to Him and worship Him, that He would give creatures of time His presence. You know, you think about people in this world who are rich and famous. They hardly give the time of day to anyone else, anybody that can't do them favors, that aren't their equals. And yet the high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, who dwells in the high and the holy place, says He dwells with them that are of a humble and contrite heart. And if you desire to fellowship with the Lord, the eternal God today, you must come with a humble, I must come with a humble and contrite heart. God is the Ancient of Days. This says that He's the pre-existing God who has unnumbered days, if you will. Moses says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, you existed. God pre-existed time and space and matter. He is the pre-existing God. As Genesis 1 says, in the beginning of the mountains, in the beginning of the earth and the world, in the beginning of time, in the beginning of matter, of space, God was there. God pre-existed. You are God. And to adapt Himself to our understanding, He says He's the one who was and is and shall be. He's the Alpha and the Omega. But to the Lord, there is no past, there is no present, and there is no future. And that's what makes the pre-existence of Christ so special, to prove that He is divine, unlike some teach. The Lord Jesus, the Bible says, existed before His birth. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is, He preexisted before He became flesh. You wouldn't say that Adam was made flesh. No, Adam began as flesh. Adam didn't exist until God formed of the dust of the ground his body and created his soul at that moment instantaneously. Adam did not exist before God created him. The Bible says that Jesus had existence. The Word, He was the Word before He was flesh. The Word became flesh. Not Jesus began as flesh or the Son began as flesh. The Word was already existing. The Word was made flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. That the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before it says again that the Word became flesh 14 verses later. He's the uncreated Creator. He's the uncaused cause, as we considered last week. The cause-effect breaks down. It's inapplicable to God. Everything else, everything you see here, we are effects or causes, but we are all effects. You and I may be a cause of something, but all of us are effects. God is the uncaused cause. He causes, but He's never the effect. In a real sense, he's not reactionary, is he? As we considered also in Sunday school, Scott spoke about the decree of God. God is the preexistent God. We're here to praise Him for causing our existence. Aren't you glad that you weren't made an animal or a bird or a worm? Think about it. You have a soul, a living soul. You exist as a human being made in the image of God and the likeness of God. And God is eternal. And how are we like God? Certainly that He's made us as beings that will live somewhere forever. We're not from everlasting, but in a real sense, we are to everlasting. We are going to have everlasting life. We're going to live somewhere forever. Everlasting destruction or everlasting life. Man is never going to cease to be. Man was made a living soul. So, the eternity of God speaks of His preexistence. But it speaks of also that He'll never die. From everlasting to everlasting. How often do you find from time to time the God is dead movement? Contrast Moses who says, you turn men to dust, but you never turn to dust. By a word, the Lord says, return to dust. As the writer of Hebrews says, it's appointed unto men once to die. You and I have an appointment if the Lord is going to remain in heaven before His second coming beyond our life. You and I have an appointment with death. From time to time I wonder, Lord, is it going to be an accident? Is it going to be a disease? Is it going to be a crime? It'll be the result of a crime. What will it be? That's the secret thing that is reserved for the Lord. But I know this, that we're a creature of time. We're heading for the grave. We're dying people. Our bodies are dying. We're feeling it every day. But God is the never dying God. He turns men to dust, but He remains. To Pharaoh, He said, drown. To the antediluvians, the ones that existed before the flood, He said, drown. And they drowned. And they died. To Dathan and Abiram, be buried alive. To Ananias, drop dead. And he dropped dead. To Herod, contract a disease. He contracted a disease to Jezebel, die at Jezreel. And she couldn't and wouldn't escape that sentence. It's beyond our comprehension that she would ever step foot in Jezreel when that ominous prophecy came, you're going to die in Jezreel. It's as if she dared God. How else can you explain it? Either total ignorance, she lost her mind, or she didn't believe in the Word of God. Say, and I think if she dared God, why else would you want to be in Jezreel? How else can you explain it? But such a wicked woman as she was, I dare you to kill me, to let me die in Jezreel. She felt she had enough friends in that tower. And you remember Jehu saying, throw her down! And two or three eunuchs just took her over their heads and shoo. That was all it took. She died in Jezreel just as God said. He is the never dying God. And how often we've heard people say, I'll never die. Or we've had a man in the nursing home that said, I've never sinned. I said, that's unbelievable. It's the first person I ever heard that said that. And I said, you know how that's going to be proven untrue? You're going to die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And brother and sister, he died a week ago yesterday. I sat with him every Sunday, urged him to think about the Savior. And from time to time, I'd say, Roy, trust the Lord for the forgiveness of your sins. And every time, I have no sin. I miss him terribly. It was stunning. It was shocking to walk into the facility last Sunday. His wife and his daughter were in the service. I miss sitting with Roy every Sunday. I hoped he came to the service, but he never came to a service, so the service had to come to him every Sunday. You and I are dying. We're going to die. But we have a Savior. We have a God who never dies. And Moses said, you sweep men away in the sleep of death. And Moses probably penned this sometime into the wilderness wanderings. And he was watching this happen. Moses was conducting funeral after funeral after funeral. All the people from 20 years old and older died those 40 years. And apparently Moses was the last to die. He watched all those thousands and thousands of people die. And being the preacher of the congregation, a priest, the leader. He was the one, as it were, conducting the funerals. He was the one that was lowering their bodies into the graves. Grave after grave after grave was dug by those young men who lived on into Joshua's day. And so Moses had death staring him in the face for 40 years. But he saw that God, and he said, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Moses saw how many generations as he died at 120 years old. What is a generation? 20 years? 40 years? He saw 3 to 6 generations. And the Lord has been faithful. Lord, you have been our dwelling place, our refuge in all of our generations. And even many of those who died in the wilderness were believers. We can't think, of course, that only unbelievers died, for then we would confess that Miriam and Aaron and Moses were unbelievers. There were thousands of believers that were affected by the sin of those 10 spies. Oh, that the Lord would not allow us to contract the sin of unbelief and underestimating the God of eternity. But you and I are If we live long enough, we're going to be going to funerals and seeing people swept away by the stroke of death and the stroke of God, as we've seen in the last few weeks. But God is from everlasting to everlasting. God has been faithful to our forefathers. He's been faithful to us. And since He lives on, He'll be faithful to our descendants. And you can be confident that when you and I get to the point of death and we're on our deathbed, we can say to our sons and our grandchildren, our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, God is eternal. He'll take care of you. He is your refuge. But Lord, You set our iniquities before You, our secret sins in the light of Your countenance. All our days are passed away in Your wrath. Moses humbles himself and realizes that however godly we are, there's so much ungodliness still remaining in us. And yet we're so daring in these short years. All we've got is 70 and maybe 80. Yet even that is not very, very long. I mean, 50 years, and it's like, isn't it? Those of us who know decades, it's like that, isn't it, Fred? They're gone. They're gone. Most of our life is behind us. And we think that after so many years in the Lord that there wouldn't be as many iniquities. And yet, Moses confesses, and You know all of our secret sins. Why is it that they still grip us? Sin is evil. And we need to beware that we're still creatures that succumb to temptation. And we need the eternal God underneath or the everlasting arms. How thankful we are that in verse 11 we don't answer, "We know." Who knoweth the power of Thine anger? According to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. Moses is saying, we don't know it. We only know a degree of it. But who can answer that question? Yea, I know the power of His anger. I know of two. One is the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows the power of God's anger as He cried out at Calvary, "Why hast Thou forsaken Me?" Who experienced the wrath of God in unmitigated degrees. And the person in hell right now can say, "I know some of the power of His anger. I feel it in my soul. I'm perishing for my sins and in my sins. Oh, I'm tormented in this flame." I am shamed to be in the inferno of hell. Daniel calls it shame and everlasting contempt. In Your sight, 1,000 years, or as one day, 365,000 days are as one to the Lord. What does that mean? I don't know. The Bible tells us He's the eternal God, and apparently what it's saying is He doesn't see things in segments of whether they're time or succession of events. Everything is in one eternal, instantaneous moment. When we have a parade here, and if you're standing out front, you and I see things coming through in segments. Here's this float, and that float, and here's that fire engine, and that police car, and we're seeing things in segments. And you think, well, the closest we might get to seeing everything in one whole picture is to stand on top of the bell tower. And you look down, and you can see if perchance, mostly they're coming from this direction, but if if wherever they started, you can see the beginning, as it were, of the parade and the end of the parade. You can see one, but even that is a rapid confining of all those successive pictures. So it's really not one instantaneous moment. It's just a rapid condensing of all those successive pictures, those successive time periods. Think about it. The Lord sees everything. He knows from the end. He knows the end from the beginning, because there is no beginning to God. There is no end. He sees everything in one instantaneous moment. From the beginning to the end, He sees it all. And all those, what we call minor things, they're all involved. One eternal decree of God, because He's eternal. Peter, remember, said, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. He's infinite. It means it's infinite duration. God is infinite in time. Infinite in presence is His immensity. Infinite in duration is His eternity. With God, time has never been. We need clocks to measure time in minutes and hours. Sunrises and sunsets to measure our days, and the moon to measure our month, the earth, the year, the Sabbath, the week. We need calendars, birthdays to measure our age. But how do you describe the day when there's going to be no sun and no moon? No darkness, only light. No clocks and calendars and birthdays. No days, months, and years. It's one eternal Sabbath day. Time shall be no more, and yet you and I will still think in segments. We have to. We're finite creatures. And like I said earlier, how do you, when you're talking in eternity in heaven after 1,000,000 years, what do you say? Do you remember 5,000 choirs ago? We still think in segments. We'll still think in successive. It will still measure our existence in eternity in segments. 1,000,000,000 sermons ago, do you remember that? What a day that will be. He's the ever-living God. Though we die, He lives on. That's what we need, a Savior who lives on. A Savior who was there when we were conceived. A Savior who was there when we were saved. A Savior who will be there when we die. A Savior who will be there to receive us into heaven. A Savior who will always exist. He'll be there at the judgment day. He will not be dethroned. A Savior who will be with us for all eternity. He is the ever-living God. And we worship Him today, in the time that He's given us to do so. And that eternal aspect of God is precious when we think about His power and His wisdom and His presence. He's eternally powerful. The power of death is His. That is, death is a scepter in His hand. Death and Hades, the Bible says, He has the keys to. Who knows the power of His anger, the power which His anger exercises? Only the occupants of hell and only Christ. But God is eternally powerful. He never weakens whenever He saves people. You and I are weakening with every stroke of the axe, with every spade that we dig a hole with, every exertion of our muscle, we're weakening, we're aging. But the Ancient of Days is the same. Able to save today like He saved yesterday. If you're lost here this morning, God is eternally powerful. He can save you today with the same power that He saved Adam 6,000 years ago. Trust Him for your salvation. He's eternally wise. That's why Moses could say, "You set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence." How is it that God can keep track of billions of people and billions of appointments of death, billions and billions and trillions of sins in that last day when the books are opened? God doesn't forget. God doesn't remember. It's all one eternal thought with God. He's not going to have to remember our sins. He can't forget. His remembrance is that He chooses to forget. And how do you explain that to a God who is eternally wise or omniscient? Moses speaks about being in the light of God's presence. You can't leave the light of His presence. You're in God's presence wherever you go. Either His special presence or His ominous presence. We can say today, Lord, You are our dwelling place in this generation. Lord, in Your presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand, and that will be so soon enough, at Your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And may I say that He's an eternally gracious and good God. Verses 12 to 17, the psalm ends this way. Moses confesses God's eternity and His finiteness and His mortality, humbles Himself on behalf of Himself and His people. And therefore, verses 12 to 17, it doesn't end. Now You're going to destroy us and we have no hope. Our future is taken away. But He says, Lord, even in the wilderness here, even though I have the sentence of death and I won't lead the people into the promised land, Moses wasn't bitter. Moses wasn't licking his wounds. Moses was praying. This is a prayer, it says, of Moses, the man of God. Lord, You have no days. You're the Ancient of Days. But Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to realize how finite we are, mortal we are, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the idea there is that we might gain a heart of wisdom, that we might give You back, the Ancient of Days, a heart that recognizes that we are a people whose days are numbered, that we might redeem the time. This is the way Paul said it. Lord, teach us to redeem the time because the days are evidently evil as I bury one man and one woman after another. And don't we see that, brother and sister, our dads and moms, brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts, friends, we're burying. They're getting sicker. We're going to bury each other in the future. We only have so much time left, one life to live. Lord, help us to buy back the time that's so precious. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent Thee concerning Thy servants. Satisfy us early in the morning with Thy mercy, that we might rejoice and be glad all our days. What an eternally gracious God Moses says He is. Lord, we need to learn to number our days aright. Lord, repent concerning Thy judgment to us. Mitigate Your judgment to us. We're Your people. Have compassion on us. Satisfy us early with Your covenant love. Gladden us equal to the days You've saddened us, and it's because of our sins. This is the opposite of the captivity for their Sabbath breaking, where Moses said, make us glad according to the days wherein we have been afflicted and the years wherein we have seen evil. And Lord, reveal Your works to our descendants as well as to us, to the thousand generations of those who love You and keep Your commandments. Lord, let Your work appear to Your servants, Your work of salvation, Your work of providence, Your work of judgment, Your work of mercy.
And Lord, let the beauty of the Lord our God, even as we die in the wilderness, and you and I are going through this wilderness, we're dying, but we're longing for heaven. We're not going to lick our wounds. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Beautify us even in our dying bodies, Lord. Our souls are living on. Grow our souls and let your beauty be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Lord, these feeble works, the work of growing our families, the work of leading our wives, the work of seeing the church strong and grow, be a lighthouse, the work of our hands laboring to subdue the earth. Lord, establish the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. You're not subjected to time, but we are. So bless us in the little time that we have left for the glory of your name. It's time to seek to worship the God of eternity. Time to seek the Lord, as the minor prophet said. Let's not waste any more time. We've wasted enough. Let's live for the Lord and exalt the God of eternity.